Love the Lord this morning. Amen. Wow. We have so many reasons to rejoice this morning and be thankful. And well, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about taking action. And so I'm sure by now you have some understanding of what it means to take action. And we kind of boiled it down to the concept of at least doing something. We talk about taking action. It's doing something. And so I believe today that we need to do something in regard to prayer, care, share, and empower. And so, for that concept to work, to be praying for people, to be caring for people, to be sharing with people, and to be empowering people, it requires us, the body of Christ, to do something. It's one thing to talk about it amongst ourselves. It's another thing to take it to our community and to our loved ones and our family and our friends. And so this morning, I want to continue to encourage us to take action and to do something about this thing of share. From childhood, we've been taught to share, or at least most of us, when we were children, our parents often told us, well, you need to share with your brother or your sister in regard to your toys and so forth. And young ladies often shared clothing with their sister, or so on, shoes and all those types of things. And so we were taught to share, or at least I believe most of us were. I wonder, as adults, though, are we teaching our children and others to share? Because when we talk about this thing of sharing, it's important. It goes beyond just sharing our toy as a child or sharing articles of clothing as teenagers. And it goes well beyond that. In fact, it even moves into the ministry aspect of the church and even of the ministry of Jesus himself. And so this morning, you know, one might wonder, do you like to share? Some people do. Unfortunately, some people don't. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but unfortunately, a lot of the world that we live in today is very selfish. I'm not going to take time to talk about that this morning because I believe we all understand that and probably understand it too well. And so some people don't like to share, and of course it's not just about the toy as a child or clothing articles as a teenager, but it even follows us into adulthood. We must understand today that sharing is vital to the work of the church, as well as to who we are and who we should be as believers. And it's an important part of our concept of ministry of prayer, care, share, and power. And if you would pause for a moment to think, we as believers, Christians if you would, have so much to share with the world, with our community, with our friends, and with our family. If nothing else than the fact that God is good and that He's blessed us and He's been faithful to us and that He's saved us from sin. So much to share because God has done so much and God is so good. We have a lot to share. We have a lot to talk about. And since sharing is so important, I'd like for us to take a few moments this morning and think about taking action, if we would, in regard to sharing. Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47 addresses this issue of sharing, certainly from a ministry perspective and from a believer's perspective. Far greater than just sharing things as a child, but sharing as a ministry within and without of the church. And so I want to draw your attention here to Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Appreciate this morning if you would stand for the reading of the word. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Shares with us, starting here at verse 40 this morning, and with many other words, he testified. This is Peter, shortly after the filling in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Join us this morning in a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, so thankful today to be able to once again gather in your house and worship you. And Lord, it's good to sing and it's good to pray and it's good to fellowship. But Lord, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that once again that you would speak so powerfully to our heart and mind. And Lord, that we would be stirred and we would be moved to this thing of sharing with the church and sharing with the community and sharing with the unsaved. And so, Lord, I ask that you would just come in a powerful way this morning and that you would enlighten us in regard to your word about sharing with others. And so, Lord, we need you to come this morning. We ask that you allow us to come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows for the preaching of the word. And so, Lord, we need your touch. We ask in your precious name. And amen. May be seated this morning. And so as we begin to think about taking action in regard to sharing, if we're going to do so, I think we need to get a good understanding of this concept of sharing. Because sharing means a lot of different things. If you would go to the dictionary and begin to define what sharing means, you have more than one definition. It's just not one thing. It's multiple things. And so if we would begin to understand what it means to sharing is to participate in, use, enjoy, or experience jointly or in turns. And so when we talk about sharing, it's participating in something or with somebody. I love this enjoy. When we talk about sharing, it's, you know, you're enjoying something with somebody else. And that really is at the heart of prayer, care, share, empower, is that we're participating with somebody else and we're enjoying that experience jointly. We're sharing together. Our passage of scripture addresses that, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But when we continue to define sharing, it's also to allow someone to use or enjoy something that one possesses. That's kind of the thought that we were taught as a child, that we need to share our toys with our brothers and sisters or our friends that come over to spend time together or our clothing as teenagers or whatever that might be. That's kind of that concept of whatever we have when it comes to sharing, we allow someone else to enjoy that, whatever it might be, as well. But then we come to the third definition of sharing, and it is to tell or to express. Like right now, I'm sharing with you. When we sat down to the dinner table, family shares stories and situations and circumstances. You share that. And when you invite somebody out for coffee because you care about them, as you're drinking coffee, you're sharing together. You're telling or expressing to one another, whatever that might be. And so that's sharing. And so when we put this definition together in the concept of prayer, care, share, empower, it's the ideal that we're going to participate jointly with somebody else, enjoying an experience, and sharing with one another. To be in conversation. And nothing says I care more than spending time with somebody. Truly, the most precious commodity you have, most people believe that that is money. Money's helpful, and you need a certain amount of it to survive in our culture. But I'll tell you today, honestly, the most precious commodity that you have is time. And I believe we should spend our time well, or as well as we can. And so spending time with somebody else is important. It's part of the foundation of this concept of sharing. And so as we come to sharing in the prayer, care, share, empower, and the context of our passage of Scripture this morning, there are two concepts that we see in our passage of Scripture and are foundational to sharing within the ministry structure of the church. We want to share them with you this morning. And the first is this: sharing life together. When we talk about sharing, we're not just talking about you have something you've let somebody borrow. We're not just talking about preaching the gospel to somebody. Now, both those things are important, but when we're talking about sharing life together, we're talking about fellowship. We're talking about spending time together. We find in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." These individuals were gathering together at different times, And they were sharing together. They were eating together. They were talking. They were fellowshipping. They were spending time together. I am convinced that the body of Christ needs fellowship. There's times we need to come together, not only for corporate worship. And I know, and I want to be very careful, but in the day that we live, corporate worship doesn't seem to be as important to some people as it used to be, but I want you to know it's important that the body of Christ gathers together and worships. Just as important it is for the body of Christ to gather together and to fellowship, spending time together, doing things together, going different places, experiencing life. And that's important for the body of Christ. It's important for our community, that the body of Christ spends time and fellowship and time with those who are not of the body of Christ. It's important for us in this plan of prayer, care, share, empower, and the fulfillment of Scripture to spend time with the unsaved. Their only hope is Jesus. The only way they're going to get to know Jesus is when you share life with them. And I'm not suggesting this morning that you go to somebody's home this morning and you shove Jesus down their throat. Now, at some point in this sharing thing, you're going to share what Jesus has done for you. They're going to ask. If you spend time with people and they see that you act different and you respond different to the things of the world and what's on the news and you have a different perspective and you go to church on Sunday and you do this, they're going to want to know what that's all about. Why are you different? And so it's important that we spend time with individuals and we share with them. Not Eventually, the idea was to share Jesus, and that's what's important. Don't misunderstand me. But often we have this concept that we're just going to throw Jesus out there, and they have no concept. I know there was a time in our culture where everybody understood who Jesus was, and that church was the influencer of our culture. We don't live in that world any longer. In fact, the world has a negative perception of the church. You have to let that settle for a moment. So it's important for us to spend time, not only as a body of Christ, but to spend time with the unsaved so that they can experience life with a believer. And they'll get to see Jesus in you. Statistics, if you believe in them or not, shares that most Christians do not have an unsaved friend. That ought to be a striking concept. If we're going to share Jesus with the world, we probably ought to have some people that we hang out with from time to time who don't know Jesus. That's just part of the sharing concept. But we also find, not only did they fellowship together, not only did they spend time together, we find that in verse 44 that they helped one another. Part of this sharing thing is helping one another. It says, now all who believe were together and had all things in common. They were helping one another. They were caring for one another. They were part of somebody else's life. And I believe that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to help one another. But I also believe that we ought to be helping those who don't know Jesus as Savior. Believe it or not, it's the godly thing to do. But not only was it about fellowship and spending time together, not only is it about helping one another, but we also discover in verse 45 that it's meeting others' needs. And so in verse 45 it says, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Now I know there's a lot of conversation around this verse about am I supposed to sell everything I have and give it to the Lord and so on and so forth. I don't want us to get hung up there. I want us just to understand that in this sharing thing, it's about meeting others' needs. If you look at the life of Jesus, that was the core of his ministry. Everywhere he went, he met spiritual needs and physical needs of the individual that he was in contact with. No less should we as a church or as believers meet the needs of others spiritually and physically. In fact, you would notice that Jesus always ministered to the physical need first, and then the spiritual need. It's hard to tell somebody that Jesus loves them when they haven't ate a meal in 3 days. Or haven't had a warm bed to sleep in. Or have just faced some tragedy in their life. The sharing thing is about meeting others' needs, physical needs, spiritual needs. And so when you put all these things together this morning in this thing of sharing life, fellowship, spending time together, helping one another, meeting others' needs, sharing is about building a relationship with others. Building a relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But also, and absolutely important, is building a relationship with somebody who is not part of the body of Christ, who doesn't know Jesus as Savior. Because it's within that relationship that we have the opportunity to introduce those individuals to Jesus. Sharing is about relationships. John Maxwell says everything rises and falls on leadership. I would say that everything rises and falls on relationships. There's something powerful about who you know. Shake your head. You know that's true. Have you ever said, you know what, I got connections? That's because of relationships. And just so you know, this morning, we do have a connection because we're in relationship with the Father. But there are some people today who don't know anything about that relationship. And so we must share. We must take action about these relationships. We must take action in regarding the needs of others. We must take action in helping others. We must take action in spending time with others. It's just foundational to this thing of sharing. And then the second concept this morning that we see in our passage of Scripture here in Acts chapter 2 is the actual sharing of the gospel, which is the definition of sharing. Sharing is that spending life together part of sharing. Sharing the gospel is the telling part of share. And we see Peter doing just that in Acts chapter 2. Verse 40 through 41, as he shares, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, this is sharing, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now, I'm not going to guarantee you today that if you go out there and build a relationship with somebody and you share with them that 3,000 people are going to get saved that day. I'm not saying that won't happen or can't happen, but I can assure you that if you share Jesus in that relationship, that you're going to be empowering somebody to move a little closer to a relationship with Jesus. And that is paramount to the ministry of prayer, care, share, and power. And so this is the actual telling part in regard to the gospel. Peter was sharing the message of Jesus. We've talked a bit about evangelism over the last year, and we've encouraged you to go and share the gospel. One of the biggest hindrances to sharing the gospel is fear. I don't think there's a one of us in here that wants to go out this afternoon and knock on a stranger's door and share the gospel of Jesus with them. Any volunteers? In your mind right now, you're saying, Pastor, you're out of your mind. Now, there are some people who have that gift and can do that type of thing. But for most of us, that's not how it's going to work. But when we build a relationship with somebody, when we get to know them, we begin to talk about things. I can guarantee if you're in a conversation with me long enough, there's a couple things that's going to come up. One of them is going to be my family. I'm going to talk to you about my family. The other thing that's going to come up is what I like to do. You guys know me. In that conversation I'm in with somebody, we're going to end up talking about fishing. In fact, there's some people that just barely know me. The first thing they do when they see me is say, been fishing? Because I talk about that. And then at some point, we're going to talk about Jesus. It may not be in that moment, but at some point, we're going to talk about Jesus. And Jesus talked about fishing. Now, all of you may not be fishing crazy, like a few of us here. But there's other things that you talk about. Some of you talk about cars, pickup trucks. Some of you talk about farming. Some of you talk about sewing. Some about crocheting. Some about tea or coffee. And we probably all talk about food. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. Anyway, but we all talk about things. We share. And in that relationship with that person that we're building that relationship, at some point, I guarantee you, it's not going to be awkward to share with them the difference that Jesus has made in your life. It doesn't have to be frightening or scary. In fact, in that conversation, at some point, you might say, you know what, next day's Mother's Day. And maybe their mom even comes. There's several people in the community. Their moms attend church here. You could easily say, don't your mom come to Dover Hill? Won't you surprise her Sunday morning and come to church? She would be excited. Wouldn't you, moms? There's a mom in this place that wouldn't be excited to see their child sitting next to them on Sunday morning. Or maybe you're talking to a mom. And maybe their child attends here. Well, doesn't your son go to, or your daughter go? Wouldn't it be nice to spend Mother's Day with them in church? Just conversation. Sharing. Peter was sharing the gospel of Jesus. We need to share the gospel of Jesus. Now, you may not be called to be a preacher, or a teacher, or even a Sunday school teacher, or a missionary. But all of us are called to share Jesus. Of course, this was directly following Peter's sermon. But over in the book of Peter, Peter shares with us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, he speaks to us about sharing the gospel. And he says to us, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What Peter's saying to us here in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, is when we're in a right relationship with the Lord, there's a difference. There's a difference. We think differently. We live differently. We do differently than the world. And if we're not doing that, then we have our own issues and we're not in a right relationship with the Lord. That's just extra. But note that. If we're not living differently than the world or thinking differently than the world or doing differently than the world, we need to get right with Jesus. But when we're right with Jesus, the world notices. And Peter says, always be ready to share with somebody why you're so different. Why you're, if we could say scripturally, why you're peculiar. Why do you have hope in a hopeless world? Why do you have peace in the midst of loss and tragedy? How can you laugh in a moment like this? How can you smile? How? They'll ask. If we're in that relationship. And that will be our opportunity in the second part of sharing, is to actually tell, to share with somebody else about Jesus. This thing of sharing Jesus in this relationship is so important. I mean, I hate to use this terminology, but it's the end game. The reason we pray, care, share, empower is to share Jesus with the world. to share Jesus with somebody. It's that action part of doing something. But it's so important. I want to quickly this morning share with you six reasons why we need to share Jesus. Six quick reasons. The first one being the call above us. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, which we've shared with you so many times. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We are commanded as believers to share the gospel. It's the purpose of the church. It's the purpose that has been given to us to share Jesus with the world. That doesn't mean we have to go to some foreign country to do so. We can do that across the street, at work, or with our friends around a campfire, or fishing on a lake, or making a quilt, or whatever it might be, to share Jesus. Commanded, all of us, not just a few of us, all of us. Second reason, there's a call above us, but there's also a catastrophe below us. I'm not sure we get the catastrophe part. Church, there are still people today who are leaving this world unsaved, unprepared to meet Jesus. And so Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." We often refer to that as hell. Church used to preach, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We don't hear a lot about hell anymore. But I want to remind us today that it's still a real place. And it's the destiny of all those who have not experienced Christ as Savior in their life. That's a reality. That's real. Still just as real today as it was 10, 15, 20, 50, 100,000 years ago. When we talk about this prayer, care, share, empower thing, we're talking about a method, a way that we as believers can personally impact the life of somebody else. We need to be sharing with these individuals that Jesus loves them and cares for them so that they can escape the catastrophe of what we know is hell. I hope that's real in our mind. Because the devil will rob that from us every opportunity he gets. I know it's sobering, but it's the truth. The third reason we need to share: the call above us, the catastrophe below us, the cry within us. The truth is, as a believer, as a Christian, as a worshiper of Jesus, having Jesus in us, the power of Christ that the praise team led us in song about, the power of Christ in us. There should be something in us that's crying out. Something in us that moves us to share Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ compels us." The love of Christ, Christ in us, compels us, pushes us, moves us to share. Don't you want everybody to have what you have? Unless we're one of those people who don't like to share. But I can guarantee you there's enough of Jesus for you. There's enough of Jesus for me. There's enough of Jesus for every person in Martin County. And more to spare. There's enough of Jesus for the state of Indiana and for the 50 states in the U.S. and all of Canada and all of Mexico and every other world, every other country in this world and more. There should be a cry within us, something that just stirs in us that people would know Jesus. Four, the call above us, the catastrophe below us, the cry within us, all. The cross behind us. Romans 5:8 that I've shared with you so much. But God demonstrated His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, that should stir us this morning. The cross behind us. We've experienced the cross of Christ. We've experienced salvation. We've experienced forgiveness. We've experienced a cleansing from sin. We've experienced the thought that we are valued and that we are loved. We were talking in Sunday school class this morning about justice and injustice. We had an interesting conversation. There's a lot of people in our world today have experienced injustice. In fact, so much they don't even think that they're of value. But we, you and I, have experienced the cross. We've experienced Christ. And we know today that we're loved and valued. In fact, Jesus died for us. That should stir us, that we want everybody else to know. We want our friends who are hurting, who at times feel useless and worthless, to know that they're valued. That's part of this sharing thing. Sometimes we're really good at it, and sometimes, Lord help us, we're not. Well, the fifth, the call above us, the catastrophe below us, the cry within us, the cross behind us, the crowd around us. I've already mentioned that there are people still dying and going to hell. And I know you know, there are people all around us. First of all, doesn't know Christ is Savior, is facing some sort of loss or tragedy or heartache or hunger or homelessness or financial, whatever it might be. The reason we need to be sharing Jesus is because of that crowd around us. I've shared with you the passage in regard to Jesus as He's seen the crowd. He was moved with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Church, there's still a lot of people in our culture and in our community that are lost without a shepherd. They need prayed for. They need cared for. They need shared with. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 is a startling passage of responsibility in regard to the crowd around us. Listen to what Ezekiel says, that the Lord is sharing with him. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning for me. That's the sharing part, the telling part. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. This is the reality. This is where the rubber meets the road, church. But his blood I will require at your hand. We have a responsibility to share. We can't project the outcome, and we're not responsible for the outcome. We're responsible for the sharing. We need to be sharing because of the crowd around us. And the last reason we should be sharing is the crown before us. Believe it or not, there's great reward. Reward we can't even begin to imagine for sharing Jesus with the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 through 11 shares with us, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in our consciences." There's going to come a day that you and I and all the world are going to stand before the Lord and be held accountable. We need to note in this passage, good or bad. And we'll be rewarded for the good. And so there is reward before us. I remember a time that youth group, even Sunday school, there was a competition and you'd be rewarded. I remember my youth group growing up, I don't even remember what the reward was, but whoever brought the most people and whoever participated in a set amount of time would be rewarded with something. We used to do that in Sunday school too. There would often be two or three teams and whoever brought the most people, that whatever the reward was. And that motivated people. It doesn't work so much today. That's probably because the truth is most of us have way more than we need. And so to say, well, you're going to get this, where most people are like, I already have that. I have two of those. And so those things doesn't really motivate our culture today. But I believe when we think about the fact that you and I someday are going to stand before the Lord, it should stir us at least a little. Truth is, the Scripture says should bring terror. That we're going to be held accountable for the good and the bad. And so six reasons this morning why we should share the gospel of Jesus. The call above us, the catastrophe below us, the cry within us, the cross behind us, the crowd around us, the crown before us. This thing of sharing is absolutely important to the work of the church, and is, if you would, right at the center of prayer, care, share, and power. That's the goal. The empower is the reward, but the goal is we pray for somebody, we're caring for somebody, we're sharing with somebody, so they can be moved, empowered to a relationship with Jesus Christ. I wonder today, as we come to a close. How well are we sharing? I think that's a relevant question. How well are we sharing? Maybe we should ask the question, are we sharing? Are we sharing life with others? Are we sharing gospel with the others? So the sharing life, spending time, getting to know somebody, building a relationship. As we build that relationship, is there somewhere where we're talking about Jesus? We're talking about the difference that Jesus has made in our life? We're sharing the gospel? Well, today, right here, right now, in this moment, is the day to take action. Today is the day to start sharing. Sharing your time. Sharing what Jesus has done in your life. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be scary. It just needs to be done. Let's stand together this morning. I'm going to ask Lana if you would come to the piano, and Brian if you would come. And I'm just going to ask them to play softly. And I would just like us to take a moment this morning and just consider. How am I sharing? Am I sharing? Many of us I know want to be sharing. So maybe we just need the Lord to give us opportunity or to bring somebody into our life. Or to impress upon us who that individual is. Wherever we are at in this sharing thing, would be willing to ask the Lord this morning, help me. Maybe we want to be sharing and saying, Lord, I'm just not that good at that. Or Lord, bring that person into my life. Point out to me who that needs to be. But at whatever level, that we would just ask the Lord to help us. Because if